The Morning Rush podcast is brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Freedom Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boot.
This game's still alive and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talked the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast.
It's really tough to try to figure out where to go from here, especially if you're Chad Morris, because getting a loss 34-27 is bad enough. Mm-hmm. But losing in the way that you did 34-27, where you had a significant lead in the fourth quarter and you can't hold on to it once again, that makes it almost, what, three or four times worse, maybe even more than that, if that's the way you're going to be losing this game.
Up 18 in the second half, give up 25 unanswered. You don't score in the fourth quarter, 17 unanswered in the fourth quarter, 25 total unanswered given up to Colorado State. There's a lot to unwind, but really it was, this game boils down to the fourth quarter. And we talk so much about football in the fourth quarter, in the tradition of Frank Broyles in the fourth quarter at Arkansas. And Arkansas football has not been anywhere close to that for some time now. And Saturday night was such a microcosm or an example or whatever word you want to use of how it's been. I mean, it's so frustrating. It makes you so angry because there's a new coach, there's a new offense, there's a new administration. There's everything. We've wiped the slate clean. But yet here we are with same behavior, same tendencies, same disgusting ways to find ways to lose football games. That's, you know, you thought all of that was behind you. Well, it's not. Because at least you didn't collapse in the third quarter. You waited until the fourth quarter. That's the only silver lining you can find is, well, the collapse really didn't begin until the waning minutes of the third quarter. But then you get to deal with, on top of that, it was a Mountain West team. This is not even a Power 5 team this happened with.
A bad Mountain West team.
Which leaves you, an 0-2. I mean, now, I think they found their way, and obviously have a huge boost for them. But this was an 0-2 Colorado State team. Let's not pretend this was anything other than one of the worst FBS teams in the country. I mean, this was not good. They were giving up 600 yards a game, 44 points a game. This was not a good team you lost to. No one's here trying to sugarcoat what happened. You lost to a very pedestrian, very poor by FBS standards football team. So, I mean, and we talked about this going into the game, the what ifs. What if Arkansas is not successful? It's a reality check. It's a reality check for these players, for Chad Morris, about how steep it really is, the mountain he's got to climb, and it's getting ready to get worse. And it's a reality for the fans that this program's a lot further behind than you realize. Got a lot more work to do to get back to where you want to be. But all this nonsense I've been reading online, guys, about firing the coach. Stop it. I mean,
that's the stupidest thing.
Who are these idiots out here bringing these subjects up?
Idiots? You answered your own question there.
Yeah.
Idiots.
That's just nonsense.
I know. And it's not surprising. It's disappointing. That's not every Razorback fan, but there are some out there. Yeah. But it just comes down to this, though, is when this team would do these things last season before, whenever, it was chalked up to Brett Bielema and the coaching staff. Mm-hmm. They don't know how to coach late in the game. They don't know how to make adjustments after halftime. It's all them. Well, now that you see it under Chad Morris, it becomes, okay, was this a Chad Morris problem, or is this a problem of the players that were under Brett Bielema that, for whatever reason, cannot buck up and come into this fourth quarter and finish out a game the way they're supposed to?
Yes.
To all of it.
Yes. It's the players you've got, anyone listening believe Arkansas was not talented enough, that this was really a problem, that you didn't have enough talent to win that game?
Nope.
I don't know. No one's believe in that. No one sane believes that.
This was the least experienced team in college football. They returned, of anyone in college football, 35% of their production from last year, and Arkansas still could not find a way to win.
Arkansas had 16 yards in the fourth quarter of offense. I mean, I can walk out here to the damn mailbox and get 16 yards, all right? 16 yards. There's problem one. Problem two, everybody wants to talk about the fourth and one play midfield towards the end, into the third. Yeah, that's or was it first play of the fourth quarter?
First
play of the fourth quarter. Yeah, that's concerning. In hindsight's 20/20, but what did Chad Morris accomplish when he punted the ball? He got him pinned back at the 4-yard line.
Because there was a penalty.
But
yes.
First and 96. Mm-hmm. Gotta stop somebody. You know? So I mean there's plenty of discussion, plenty of, you know, I hate to use the word blame, but I mean plenty of blame to go around about what happened here on Saturday night that led to the I wouldn't say shocking defeat, but very disappointing defeat, because you felt like you were going to win this football game.
Yep.
And maybe that was the problem in the end. This team felt like they were going to win this football game, and they didn't hammer down. They took their foot off the gas.
And it makes you wonder, too, that with this team and what they've done in the previous seasons and blowing leads and all that, it's always been one play or one moment that just made them crumble. And I don't really know if there was that feeling, like where there was just one play that made it all. Maybe it was the fourth and one, because it seems like after that play, when they didn't go for it, that's when it all started becoming unraveling. And I know the defense, you know, you can't give up a 96-yard drive there in the fourth quarter, especially when they were playing so good. And I think that's also the thing that blows people's minds. I think the defense played as good as you could have asked for, you know, 2.5, 3 quarters. They played great. They were causing turnovers. They were getting to the quarterback. They were stuffing the run. They were making plays when a play needed to be made. And then it's just the fourth quarter comes and it all goes away. It's like a completely different team that we're watching. It's not that they've had any lack of talent or lack of stability in as far as what they were able to do from up to that point. Is it confidence? Is it leadership? I mean, what? There has to be something you can point to.
Yeah.
And say, here is a big problem that they need to fix. And then maybe it's a multiple big problems. It could be that too. But there's just so many things going on with this team right now.
How long does it take to flush this out of the program?
That's
clearly
the next question.
Not. You know, because what you don't want is whatever this fourth quarter collapsing, second half collapsing virus is that Arkansas can't seem to take enough penicillin for. You don't want these incoming players, these young players, these freshmen to think, I mean, how do you stop this from moving forward? How does Chad Morris, sorry, this is the last time that ever happens. I mean,
it's the million-dollar question.
I don't know. I mean, because Brett Bielema couldn't figure it out. Still hadn't figured it out.
Maybe start playing younger players. Maybe start trying to get the ones that are falling there in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that they're quitting, but just the ones that are completely falling apart in the biggest ways. Start putting some pressure on them, or start playing some young guys that don't have that problem.
Now you got North Texas Saturday afternoon. Never thought we'd sit here and think North Texas was a must-win. Never categorized that as a must-win game. But, guys, it feels to me like it's a must-win game. I mean, if you lose this game,
1-11. I mean, it could be a thing.
Do you know
it could be a reality.
Do you know Arkansas's favorite in that game?
Yeah, they're favored by 7.
They started open at 5. And in fact, John told me that last night, and I looked at him for a sec. I was like, there's no way. And
Mason Fine, I mean, I was just looking at some of their stats. Mason Fine, who is the quarterback,
it's pretty good
for North Texas. I mean, so far with who they play, what, Incarnate Word on Saturday. So they have not,
And SMU.
And they have not been playing world beaters, but they're North Texas. They're not going to play, I mean, they're going to play some teams like Arkansas along the way to line their coffers. But so far he's completed 72% of his passes. So this is a guy that's efficient as their quarterback. This is an offense that so far has scored more than 50 and a defense that's given up less than 20. Now, consider the level of competition, of course. But You know, when it comes to offense, they're capable at least.
Mm-hmm. He's the two-time Oklahoma National Player of the Year, and the only reason he's not at a bigger school is because of his height and weight. He's about 5'11", 170-something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's the only reason he's not at a better school right now.
They're averaging 52 points a game, giving up only 19.5.
Yep.
I mean, this could be a nightmare scenario for Arkansas.
I'm just saying that's why it's a must. You start out 1-2.
And you haven't even played an SEC team yet. Because, you know, you started out 1-2 back in 2015 when you lost to Toledo and Texas Tech. You ain't going 5-3 in conference to make up for it.
Not this year, no.
Not this year at all. So, yeah,
I hate to pull out the must-win tag this early, but boy.
Because you're legitimately looking at 1-11.
It's a must-win for Chad Morris.
Yeah. Boy, we are at this point right now where it could be
much
could be realistic.
Than we thought. Yeah.
Yeah, could be very realistic.
I don't think it shocks anybody they lost at Colorado State. We knew this was a road game that this team may not be quite ready to win. But when you're up 27-9, now I can't go there. You know, you're good enough to win the game, should have won the game. You know, if it had been a dogfight, 14-14 at the half, 21-21 at the half, you know, you're playing a 1-1 Colorado State team. You know, if the scenario was much different. This was not a great Colorado State team, as Ty pointed out, very young, lots of new players. They were 0-2, and you gave them their first win. And probably one of the best wins that they've had in, I don't know how many years. I mean, I'm not Colorado State Rams' story, but you know, clearly they were rushing the field. This win meant, and it should. I mean, when you're a group of five team and you beat an SEC team.
Especially in the way that you won it, where you came back in dramatic finish.
Going to rush the field.
It's their first Power 5 win at home since Colorado back in 2013. So they're not going to get a lot of Power 5s at home, but just the significance of Arkansas being up there and the fact that they were able to win the way they did.
Yeah, in front of about, what was it, maybe 25,000 fans? Yeah. Great.
Arkansas's home for the best sports talk. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Adams with it at the 45. Adams skipping. Adams gets outside. Watch out. Hits the sideline. The Jet. Touchdown, Arkansas.
Heath is in cabin. What's going on, Heath?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Hey, listen, I'm just going to go ahead and say this. I believe Chad Morris is a little bit over his head. I think he's just not an SEC caliber coach.
After two games?
You're talking – you consider what he did at SMU, and that was his first head coaching job.
Right.
And then he's coming into the best league in college football, regardless of what anybody says. The SEC is the best and toughest. And it's big boy football, and I believe he doesn't have what it takes to be successful. And I think, you know, Chase,
we're losing Heath.
Yeah.
Heath, we're losing you, man. Call back. Sorry about that. But listen, I mean, I get there's criticisms of the coaching decisions that were made in this game. I just don't think I have enough evidence to say whether or not Chad Morris is an SEC caliber coach or not. I just don't.
Now, you can make the argument, you know, Nick Saban lost to UL Monroe his first year at Bama, but
he had
won a national title at LSU.
That's right.
Had, you know, success under his belt at Michigan State. Had several other head coaching posts to evaluate as well. And, of course, a ring from LSU, had been in the NFL briefly. So
helps.
A little bit different situation than what we're talking about with Chad Morris. But a first-season loss does not doom you to forever being a failure.
No. No,
but it's not a good look. Yeah. I will grant you that, Heath.
Yeah.
It is not, you know, great coaches to say he's going to be the next Nick Saban, to say he is going to be the next great coach in college football, to say he is going to be the coach that finally gives a challenge to Nick Saban in the West. It's not encouraging from that standpoint.
No,
but I'm not going to write him off.
You know, here's the thing, folks. Is this loss against Colorado State? Is this going to be a loss similar to what Kentucky was with Bobby Petrino in his first year, where they had a big lead in the fourth quarter but screwed it up? Or is this going to be a loss like in Brett Bielema's first year against Rutgers, where they had the lead on the road late in the game, blew it, and it messed the entire season up going forward? How are they going to bounce back?
Yeah.
That's going to be the key, and that's going to be the difference.
This week's going to tell a lot about it.
That's right. Let's go back to the phone lines. Justin's in Paris. What's going on, Justin?
Hi, guys. Well, everybody's talking about, you know, the quarterbacks, and, you know, I agree, you know, the offense didn't play like they should have. You know, we're supposed to be high-powered, score a lot of points. We didn't do that. But the coach, you know, he made some poor decisions on not going for it, you know, on the fourth down. But my opinion, you know, the defense is just laid down on us, you know, and that's where we lost the game. Doesn't seem like anybody's talking about it. I'll hang up and listen.
No, I appreciate the phone call, Justin.
That's exactly what we were talking about earlier is the fact that the 96-yard drive that kind of really began the momentum for Colorado State after Arkansas had punted it away on the play where they didn't go for it on fourth and one. No, you're exactly right, Justin. It's the defense. Now, here's the debate. Did the defense get gassed because the Arkansas offense couldn't get a first down and couldn't sustain anything? Because Colorado State had it over 10 minutes of possession in the fourth quarter. Is the defense's collapse somewhat at the feet of the offense and their lack of getting first downs? You could make that argument.
Definitely.
But there's certainly no question that Colorado State had 200 yards of offense right at it in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
I mean, there's where the game boils down to is right there.
Yeah.
You know, just looking back, let me just pull up the fourth quarter only box here and give you some exact numbers. Colorado State in the fourth quarter rushed it 10 times for 45 yards and was 13 of 15 on passing for 150. So 195 yards in the fourth quarter. Had it 10 minutes and 20 seconds. Scored 17 points on that. So,
yeah. Defense didn't do any favors there in the fourth quarter at all for anybody.
And by the way, on third downs was 2 of 3.
Yeah, can't have that. Let's go back to phone lines. Rick is in Lowell. What's going on, Rick?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Hey, I'm right there with Justin. I think a lot of this has to do with the defense, not the offense. But you can go back and say, just as you were saying, that, you know, if the offense would have done what they're supposed to do, defense would have been on the field as long.
Yeah.
But I didn't see, super-duper blitzing and pressure on the quarterback, and our secondary got burned bad. That secondary doesn't look like it's been any better than it has been in the last 2 years. But when you go back and say that the first caller that I heard about, you know, Chad Morris is not an SEC-caliber coach. I don't know that we got 100% SEC-caliber players right now. We've got good players. I'm not denying that. But we don't have, you know, some of what Alabama and Auburn and LSU has right now. We're working on it, and we're going to get there. I'm behind. I'm on the hammer down train. I'm in the left lane. Put the hammer down right now. But as I run down 49. But I think it's way, way, way too early to jump on. Mm-hmm. Chad Morris is not the caliber coach we need. Let's give him another couple. You know. What, 10 more chances this year anyway?
And about 12 more next year, and about 12 more the year after that. You're not going to know till you get about three legitimate recruiting classes in here.
Yeah.
I mean, because your point is very accurate, Rick, that you don't have a full caliber of SEC players across his 85 scholarships. And that's where you're going to know, because I believe what you got is a guy that so far has shown some real promise to recruiting. Now, the question is, what happens to some of these commitments he's already, you know, gotten? Do they start softening a little bit with a loss like Colorado State, or does that embolden them anymore? That, hey, there's playing time available right now. That's going to be the interesting thing to follow.
I think you're right there. It's going to embolden them to play, want to come in here and make a difference on his team.
Yeah. Well, a lot of them certainly could. Appreciate the phone call, Rick, especially to start off. I mean, that would be... that'd be one thing and one recruiting pitch that Chad Morris could definitely have. Let's go back to the phone lines. Chadley's in Benton. What's going on, Chadley?
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good, man. What's going on?
Oh, man. I guess the most disappointing thing about the loss is the way the offense looked. You know, I didn't see, like, quick passing game to get the ball out of the quarterback's hand. It seemed like all the routes seemed to be deep, or either we were going to run the ball or we were going to go deep. There was none of the short.
Chadley, they were getting 6 yards a carry. Devoy Whaley was destroying them like stomping on beer cans, man. Why would you throw the ball?
But Well, when we had to throw the ball or at least keep it balanced, it seemed like there wasn't any quick passing, quick game. You know, Colorado State's passing offense looked more like I thought we would look. And we just didn't do any short passes. I mean, everything seemed to want to go deep, and the offensive line couldn't hold up for that. And that was, I think that was the most disappointing thing, because it looked like Brett Bielema's offense, the shotgun.
I think some people would argue the 22 passing attempts they had was too many.
Yeah, especially in this game.
I think that would be the argument to some degree, Chadley, is they passed it too much.
Yeah, I mean, but,
run
you know,
it more.
When we get to SEC play, we're going to have to pass the ball.
Well, I agree. I mean, you do that against Auburn, you'll lose badly.
Yeah.
Badly, but Saturday night, you adapt to what the opponent was giving you. That Colorado State defense could not stop Devoil Whaley. He could have and should have run for 200.
Yeah, and that 4th-and-1 was a gimme. You should have gone for that. That's no question on that one.
Yeah, appreciate the phone call, Chadley. And the thing is, too, is if against Auburn, say, this isn't going to happen, but against Auburn, if Arkansas is getting 6 yards a carry against Auburn, I do not want to see them throw the ball a single
ever.
Time. You run it until you can't run it anymore.
Right.
Period. Never thought I'd say that after watching Houston.
I don't mind being one-dimensional when that one dimension is working.
Yes.
And getting you more than half a first down on average every time you do it.
What's the old adage? If it ain't broke, don't fix it?
Yeah.
Keep running it. I think that's what most people want it, for sure. Let's go back to the phone lines, get a quick phone call before we take a break. Brett is in Centerton. What's going on, Brett?
Hey, and I want to go back on that thing that he just said, and I agree with you guys to a certain degree. But, I mean, the balance. When we brought this offense on, we said, hey, it's a balance. It's a run, but it's also a pass. And if you're running till it don't work, that's great. But when you got a pass, you got to have a scheme that's going to do it. And when they were doing that run-pass option, they did that. They did that same play, that same right up the gut, put it in the running back's hands, pull it back. He never pulled it out. You've got to have – if you're not going to run that quarterback option ever, I mean, all they have to do, a good defense will stand back and just look at it and say, okay, I got this, you know?
But you weren't playing good defense.
So you've got to have some options. Well, I understand that, but they beat us. Whether they were a good defense or not, they beat us. And what it came down to in the end, we didn't have any options. I mean, we ran it up the gut, and then it stopped working, and then what do, you know? So we got to have some balance on it. We were told that this offense was so complicated and so scheme-happy that we couldn't. But we ran like 4 plays Saturday. 4 plays. And so, I mean, I understand that the run was working, but we got to have some balance.
Yeah. No.
And the second thing I learned over the weekend is you're in Vegas, don't ever bet with your heart. Don't bet Arkansas.
Yeah.
I lost a lot of money. So anyway, all right, guys, have a good one. Thanks.
Hey, appreciate it, Brett. Don't ever bet on your team. Yeah. That's like rule number one when it comes to betting. But as far as your first point, though, I get that when you have to pass, you have to have some type of scheme, and you have that. But I just think right now you just don't have the players to do it.
Yeah.
That's what I think. You just don't have a quarterback. You don't have the wide receiver. You don't have the line that's supposed to do what you're wanting them to do. That's all I'm saying.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle. And Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas. 80 yards.
Go to the phone lines. Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette joins us now on the show. Good morning, Tom. A lot of different places we're going to go with this one. Arkansas defeated by Colorado State 34-27. It wasn't necessarily that they lost the game, but it was the way they lost the game. It seems like it's the same song, different verse from what this team had the past few years under Bielema.
Yeah, there's no question. It's just eerily reminiscent of some of those late game collapses of recent vintage, you know, dating back to the Belk Bowl and the Missouri game before that. So it's frustrating for Razorback fans. I get it. And this new regime, you know, we knew there would be some bumps in the road, but you hate it that it resembled so much, you know, recent past. And I'll tell you what, coaches talk about the game of inches. And if you ask me, there's one play that completely indicated what a game of inches it is. If Jordan Jones taps his left toe down, clearly a fraction of a second ahead of his right toe, and it was very, very close on that fade pass, It's 34-9, and all of the Rams fans just about are going to clear out of there instead of just some of them. And the game's over. I mean, and you know, they might rally a little bit at the end, but they won't catch up. And so that's how close Arkansas came to not only winning a game, but possibly winning in a rout. And so it's the frustrating part is all over. I get it. But that's how close they were to being totally in charge of that game.
A lot of people want to boil it down to the 4th-and-1 call and the decision to punt rather than go for it. Is that fair, unfair? How does Tom Murphy view the 4th-and-1 call?
Well, I think it was obviously a very big part of the game. And I think when you're in the position that Chad Morris is in, that no one expects a whole lot out of you, I think you're better off doing it right there. And I think in his post-game remarks, I thought he was pretty doggone honest about it, that, you know what, in retrospect, you know, maybe, probably, we should have done this. And I think, yes, you do. Show confidence in your O-line. You're mashing them off the ball. They average 5-point-something yards a carry in the game, I think. And you feel like you can get that yard. And so it was a small victory for Colorado State just in the fact that Arkansas punted on the first play of the fourth quarter and felt like they were protecting a lead. Because if you get another set of downs there, it's just a bigger hill for Colorado State to climb. And I think in retrospect, a program that's in Arkansas State, you're better off, even if you don't make it, you're better off showing that you believe that you could make it. So it's just one of those learning things.
Speaking with Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette right now on the show. Tom, one of the things that stood out to me, too, was just that they stopped running the ball. I felt like they were getting so much success, getting roughly, what was it, 5.6 yards mm-hmm. a carry. It just seemed like that was working so well for them. And to me, late in the game, they got away from it. Is there any explanation as to why they did that and why they weren't just sticking with what was working for them all game long?
Well, no, they had great success running the ball, great success on first down. And even on their final, you know, their second-to-last series, they got 10 yards on Whaley's run. I guess this is after the game is tied. You know, they get 10 yards on the first down play, and then I think they run two more times. It was the third and mediums. Like, they wound up in a, seems to me, a lot of third and fours and third and threes, and they didn't convert those from the time that, you know, the Jordan Jones pass was ruled incomplete. I think they lost yardage on the third down that ensued. And from that point forward, third downs they were just horrible at. And I meant to come back home and watch the replay last night and find out what was going on with the patterns, the protections, and why Cole Kelly wasn't throwing the ball. I had a horrible view from the press box, so I still don't know the answer as to what happened on third down. Maybe they could have or should have run some of those, but I also feel like, you know, things were tightening up, and, you know, it was one of those momentum things. It's like the Packers and the Bears last night, like the Falcons Super Bowl game. Sometimes when the momentum switches, it's hard to get it back.
Tom, back home for North Texas this Saturday. Who's the primary quarterback? I only asked starting quarterback at this point. Who's the primary quarterback for this game on Saturday?
Well, where they have to make their decision, in my view, is can they want to go up-tempo, but I don't know if it completely suits these quarterbacks right now. So when you look at the numbers, they go a lot faster with Ty Story in the game. But Story wasn't making great decisions on the run. You know, he had two picks in the first quarter or in the first half, and he threw behind a couple of guys and just didn't seem to be kind of in a good rhythm. But they went faster. And then when Kelly was in the game, they took a lot more time per play, so they didn't run near as many plays. But they had the fade pass touchdown, which was just a beautiful throw. And then, of course, the T.J. Hammonds pop pass broke for a touchdown. So I think that it's just still a blend, you know, which guy is operating the most efficiently against this North Texas defense. And you talk about a team with great confidence, you know, the Mean Green is going to come in here thinking they can get themselves a big-time win.
It's going to be interesting for sure. Tom, and another thing that I wanted to bring up from this game on Saturday was that not only was the defense there late and they struggled a lot there, but
it seemed like to me, too, that this team, with what they've been going through, it was so similar to what they had the past few years. Is this a player thing? Is it a coaching thing? I mean, where do you point to the reason that this team had another meltdown there in the fourth quarter? Is it something that you have to weed out if you're Chad Morris, or was it a little bit on the coaching staff itself for the way this played out?
Oh, I think it was a combination of everything. The players knowing that it had happened to them before. So, you know, the interior confidence that you have to finish off a game isn't quite there. It's a coaching staff that's in game two all together. And, you know, I want to credit John Chavis and the defensive coaches for holding Colorado State down for as long as they did. No touchdowns in the first half. This is a pretty good offense. And Carter Samuels to Williams, as we saw, was phenomenal. I really thought that Ryan Pulley would get assigned to him, you know, a good portion of the game. And when he was on him, Pulley did a good job. But Williams ultimately, against some of the other cornerbacks, wound up having a huge game. So they held Colorado State down for a good amount. And finally, maybe they're tiring just a little bit. Pulley said it was some missed assignments late in the game, but that's what led to the defensive breakdowns. And Colorado State's last four series all wound up with scores. So, you know, it's hurtful and it's frustrating. You felt like you had the game in the bag, and that happened. And I think that you can, you know, I don't think they want to point fingers, but as a critic, you could see that it was from a lot of areas. Some of the play calling on offense late in the game, the lack of going on the fourth down. Arkansas special team, their punt team, was far inferior to Colorado State in that game. And, you know, if they can make a 48-yard field goal, the timing of that looked a little bit off, then it puts another dimension to Colorado State's comeback. So a lot of different factors.
Chad Morris will visit with the media a little over 4 hours from now. What are you wanting to hear from him, and what do you think his message will be today?
I think it's going to be that they have to focus on the finish and stuff like that. And you know what? To their credit, they were not a good first down team against Eastern Illinois. Well, look at the game Saturday. They were a very good first down team in that game, but third downs hurt them. They struggled in the run game against Eastern Illinois. Well, they focused on it all week long, and by golly, they were a good run team. So I do think that the team takes to the coaching style and methods that they're using, but what they've got to avoid is pointing fingers, and I think that he'll talk about that. We looked in the mirror. It's all about us. We've got to get better. Big challenge against North Texas coming up on Saturday. I hope they get Randy Ramsey and Dre Greenlaw back. I think they would have won the game if those two guys had been healthy. And a pass rush against North Texas. I don't think they have a great run game, but Mason Fine at quarterback is phenomenal. Your people will hear about him all week long, and the Razorbacks will get their fill.
Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, always appreciate you joining us, Tom. Looking forward to catching up with you. A little preview of North Texas on Thursday, my man.
Outstanding. Hope you still love me, man, after Friday. Felt like I wasn't getting it back. Man.
Oh, no. Well, sorry. We always love you, Tom. Always appreciate it, man. That's for sure.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.